This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by DrawYourPicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others. See what I can do for you at DrawYourPicture.com. Also by our patrons like Deborah Sims, Eli Schmeck, and Elizabeth Kruger, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Sign up today at Patreon.com/ThatStoryShow.
Well, howdy there. This is Steven from Alabama. And contrary to popular belief, we do not all sound like that. You're listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
Who watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It is episode 412, brought to you the week of May 19th, 2022. I am your host. My name is James, and our good friend John is not here today. He has a real job, unlike me, and he is working with a graduation, trying to get some eighth graders graduated. But today, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled because we have an excellent guest host to fill his shoes. His name is Scott Dickers. Welcome to the show, Scott.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, James.
Scott Dickers, you need to care about who he is because I care immensely. I don't know if you've ever heard of TheOnion.com, but it is the premier and probably one of the first and definitely the biggest news parody websites in the world. And I love it. I've followed it for years, and I love what you do. Scott Dickers performs, he writes, he animates the new weekly television show, Scott Dickers Around, available ad-free wherever you get podcasts. His career in comedy began with a syndicated comic strip called Jim's Journal, which led to a New York Times bestselling book collection. And after that, he founded the world's first humor website, as we've already mentioned, TheOnion.com, and he served as its owner and editor-in-chief on and off for much of the last 30 years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and if your listeners don't know The Onion, they might know Clickhole, which is an Onion offshoot.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't know my comic strip, they will know Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which was influenced heavily by my comic strip.
Awesome.
And it's why it's called Diary of a Wimpy Kid, not Greg's Journal or Jeff's Journal, because I had already used the name Jim's Journal. But it's great to be here, and delighted to be on Discord with people on the cutting edge of technology.
Yes. we had some technical issues, but they are all worked out. We're thrilled to have you.
Yeah, we're good.
Scott, you've won some awards, haven't you? The Peabody, Thurber Prize for American Humor, dozens of Webby Awards. I'm jealous.
Yeah, that Thurber Prize, that's it's a very august award, and often they don't award people who do comedy until long after they're dead. So I feel pretty lucky that I got those while I was still living.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be a shame for anything else to go the other way around. So I'm glad you're alive, in other words.
Thank you.
You were also voted in the top 50 of the cyber elite alongside such figures as Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and George Lucas. That's pretty dang impressive.
That was a surreal experience to be listed on that list, yeah. And it was in the early days of the internet when, you know, I guess I was an early pioneer because I had the world's first humor website.
Yeah.
And we had done a book deal, you know, we parlayed the Onion's success online into a big book deal and got a lot of attention for that. And yeah, Time Magazine called up and was like, we want to put you on this list. Those lists are so arbitrary. You know, they always come out with a list of like the 50, you know, hot people in politics or the 50 under 450 or, you know what I mean? They do all these lists and it's so arbitrary. They're just like picking the person. Oh, I heard that person's hot. Let's put them on.
Right.
So there's no mathematics. There's no panel of experts that decide. It's all very whimsical.
Yeah, but it's still darn impressive.
Well, it's a delight to be on the list. So when I went out to Skywalker Ranch and, you know, you eat in this little cafeteria and George Lucas is at the table next to you.
Oh.
I really wanted to go over to him and say, hey, we're on the same list. but everybody said, no, you don't talk to George.
Don't talk to George.
At Skywalker Ranch.
I know that. And I've never met him.
Leave him be.
Yeah.
You just leave him be.
I don't even think George's, you know, family talks to George.
No.
He just, that big double chin just sits there and says, don't talk to me.
He is secluded in some kind of $2 billion gold cylinder.
He's doing something with that money, and it's not and it's not family friendly, I guarantee you. So anyway.
Good possibility.
So you also share your humor writing secrets with the best-selling How to Write Funny book series. I saw that on your website. That's impressive.
Too. Yeah, when I left The Onion a few years ago, I decided I was just going to write down everything I knew about how to create comedy. Because at The Onion, we had done everything. We had done print and web, you know, article writing. We had done a radio show for many years. We did TV pilots. We made a movie. And I'd worked with so many people in comedy, and I just felt like I knew how to do this. Because The Onion, you know, like writing prose humor is difficult because you don't know what the audience is thinking. You can't gauge their laughter and adjust what you do. You have to like put it in these strange black and white symbols and then put it out in front of them. You have no idea whether they're liking it or getting it.
Right.
And so it's a real craft, and we learned it over many years, like trial and error. And so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to put it all in a book and tell people how to do it, because no one had ever done that for me. Like I would have killed to get my hands on a book that told you how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, how do you write a joke? How do you compose a joke? How do you make a story funny? And how do you make it funnier? You know, how do you punch it up? And all people who do comedy professionally, they know all these tricks, but they don't tell. Like, it's not like magicians. And that's the old saying, a magician doesn't reveal his tricks. So not true. You can buy a magic kit at any corner of a magic store.
Yep.
But it's the comedians who don't sell their tricks. Mm. Like, they will never tell you how it's done. So I just wanted to demystify that. And that book led to online courses where I help people. You know, a lot of them are like professional comedians and comedy writers who just want to like raise their game and stuff like that. But a lot of them are people who are just interested in wanting to be funnier, you know? So it's a fun group. It's a really great experience.
What?
Sort of becoming this little like comedy teacher.
I know I'm going to check it out because I just started my foray into stand-up comedy just last month. I did my first open mic night. And as you probably know, if you've ever done such a thing, or it is the hardest thing in the world to do for the first time. It's and I'm sure I bombed but I got some laughs. I learned a lot, and and I would love to learn more. So I'm looking forward to that. You're also a voice actor.
Yeah, I have done a good amount of that over the years. But about the stand-up, I went into stand-up really late after I had a long career writing comedy and doing voice work and kind of being behind the scenes. And I'm sure you found this being on stage, but the writing and the jokes is like a small percentage of what you're doing up there. It's like you're battling so many psychological hurdles just to stand up there and be confident and cool and collected and be able to deliver your material. And I never had to deal with that in writing. You're alone in front of a computer.
Right.
You know, it's just a totally different comedy muscle to do stand-up. And you're right, it's very difficult. You know, I had given speeches before that, and that's pretty easy. But when you're expected to go up there and be funny, like that's the expectation, it's a different level.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad you got to experience that. I hope you'll do more of it. I think it's like one of the most like beneficial things to do as either a hobby or just as a sideline, because it gives you such confidence. It makes you comfortable in your own skin. I think all of us, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I think all of us pretty much walk through life assuming that we're frauds and that everyone thinks we're terrible.
Mm.
And everybody's crippled by that anxiety. And getting up there and doing stand-up combats that just a little bit. Every time you go up, you feel a little bit more confident.
Yeah.
In just being yourself.
I know podcasting has done that for me. And you're right. The feedback, the live feedback from the audience is so addictive and so great. Like I said, I've done this for 16 years and you put the content out there, but you never hear the laughs. You're not there when they listen, you know? And so you depend on feedback and emails, which are few and far between. And getting up there live, it's a whole different ballgame, but it's so rewarding in a way, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the big crucible. It's kind of the whole crucible of the comedy business, in my opinion.
Well, I
recommend everybody do it because it improves all your other skills.
Jump up there and get going, guys. Find an open mic in your area. I guarantee you there is one.
And do it while you're young too. That's really a good idea.
Before we get into the show proper, I do want to mention your book, your latest book, The Joke at the End of the World. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's my first novel, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
It's about a kid who travels from the year 1950 into the year 2021.
Oh, that's
2020,
awesome.
I'm sorry.
That's great.
And it's got a lot of twists and turns and a lot of unexpected surprises. And just a lot of fun. I wrote it from the perspective of a 12-year-old kid who travels through time. So I got the dates wrong. It's 57, I believe. 57, not 50. But anyway, he's from the 1950s. He comes to 2020. And as far as he's concerned, it's like the world's ending.
Yeah.
Like what's happened? It's a total mess.
Oh,
and you know, the world's on fire and there's riots in the street and there's a pandemic. And so it's not at all the future that he expected from the 1950s. It was like, you know, the astounding robots of the future.
Right.
You
right.
know, will serve humanity's every need. Humans will no longer need to work. You know, the whole idealized version of the future.
That's
so, that was a fun book to write. And then I had such a great experience doing the audiobook because I found this wonderful 12-year-old actor named Huxley Westmeyer to read it. And that was such a great experience working with him.
Oh, that's nice. That is great.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah.
So that's available on Amazon and Audible, I would imagine.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sure is.
All right. Check it out, guys. It's called The Joke at the End of the World by Scott Dickers. So we always start with an opening story, and today is no different. Today is called, it's called Evil Stop Sign. Hello, Bad Story Show podcasters and listeners. I've recently started listening to the show at work after finding the podcast name on a post-it note. I guess I heard the name somewhere, wrote it down, and forgot about it. Anyway, here's my story from freshman year of college back in 2014. First, some context. I played trombone on my college's marching band for all my years there. Before every home game, the band marches from the music building a mile down the road to the stadium. Goodness gracious. It's not just marching either. We dance. We dance down the road and then back, and we slap every stop sign that we pass. Okay? And, you know, it's college kids, I guess. I was a few home games in when I got my first time on the stop sign side of the marching block. This first sign was about shoulder level to most people. That one I slapped no problem like everyone else. That's one of the two good stop signs. The third one was the best. It was a taller one, and I didn't have to get airborne to slap it. The second one on the route was between 6.5 to 8 feet off the ground above my head, along with the heads of most people in the band. Still, nothing a good exaggerated jump and a Superman slap couldn't achieve. I leapt, I smacked the sign with all my might, and my right foot came down right on the curb. At first, I thought it wasn't too bad. I've twisted ankles plenty of times and walked it off no problem. I passed the sidewalk on the other side of the street, but the pain hadn't gone away. Okay, it was just taking a while, but why was it getting worse? It was fine. I could keep marching and dancing. I'd be fine. About 100 feet past the stop sign, I was fighting back tears, making matters worse. It's the bones run out of the block and past one of the dining centers along the route. I joined them much slower, trying to match the speed of their enthusiasm. I don't know what I look like, but I wasn't happy. Back then, I had the mentality of stay in the form. The form was more valuable than your life, so I kept at it. Even when we marched past my residence hall, at that point, we were only halfway to the stadium. Less than that, because the band marches and plays all the tailgating lots as well. Goodness gracious, this poor guy. And that's when I couldn't fight back through the tears, but gosh dang it, I was still part of the band and in form. I'd play as much as I'd play as much as the fire in my foot would allow. Once that was finally done, I limped over to the director and he gave me a disbelieving look and offered to have someone take me back to my dorm. I wasn't already there and I didn't want to put any more weight on my foot at the moment. I decided to stay. So one of the assistant directors helped me up to the stands, and while I sat there in the with an ice pack on my elevated foot, I watched my band down on the field without me, and that was the first time I was at a football game and not on the field for a pregame and halftime. During the game itself, I somehow had a line sight right down to the main drum major podium. Back in the stadium, it got jet engine loud when our team was on defense, and I added to the noise by screaming things along the lines of, "I'm in pain and my foot's on fire." Hey, sometimes you just got to laugh your way through it. Yet, after another glorious curb stomp of the game, a bunch of other band members stayed behind to help me back to my dorm. Eventually, stadium security kicked us out of the building. Outside, security wouldn't let someone's dad in with a truck to pick me up. You really see me not limping, unable to put weight on my leg? My few friends had to help me out of the mini corridor to a waiting truck. I eventually got back to my room with their help. The next day, I was able to borrow the director's crutches. I don't know why he had them. The following Monday, I made it to the on-campus clinic. The diagnosis, torn muscle fibers. Yum. Nothing like an ACL tear, but something I couldn't put any weight on. And I shouldn't have been dancing, jumping, and all that other fun stuff on the way to tailgating. That probably made it worse. I was on crutches for a week and a boot for a week. And after that, I didn't miss any games, but I was able to learn the Veterans Day show in one day and marched on said boot. Thank you, you evil stop sign. I made sure it knew what I thought about it every game after that by screaming, "Evil, evil, stop, sign is evil." On the other side, that stop sign took a few other victims in my time, including cutting open someone's arm a few years later. We couldn't slap any signs after that. The one side had to ruin the fun for everyone. The moral of the story, if you're injured, just get out of the form. Get out of form. I hope this makes it on the show. Brandon Anderson. All right. Excellent. I don't know about you, Scott, but I was in band. In high school.
Yeah, me too. Let me try to guess. I used to be really good at guessing what instrument people played. I'm guessing that you played either.
I was skinny back then, so.
Oh, that helps me to know how you looked. You played the saxophone.
Oh, I had friends in the saxophone section, but I was third chair trumpet.
Oh, I was trumpet as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what years that was, but were you into Maynard Ferguson, Chuck Mangione, some of those guys?
I'm sure I was back then. I was into it mostly for the ladies, I'll be honest.
You know, I think band was a lady repellent. when I was in band.
No, with all the flutes and clarinets and the marching, the flag corps and the majorettes. Well,
they all wanted the drummers. That's they didn't want the trumpet player. They didn't want so the nerds true. Who played the trumpet.
Especially the guy on the quads. He was the coolest drummer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was my brother, to make things even more embarrassing.
Oh, no. That is so terrible.
Yeah, he got all the girls in the band, and I did not.
Well, now it's time for us to rewind the week. Let's do that. All right. So if you're new with us today, Rewinding the Week is when we take a story from the last few days or so. And I want to share a little frustration because today we do have an LBB.
One of the many tools of the devil.
And the LBB for our guest is a living, breathing butthead. Someone that exists just to be a rear end. We all know someone like that. We've all met someone like that. Today, it was my electricity. Because this is Saturday. And we started this interview on Thursday night at 5 p.m. Central. And right in the middle of the first story, the lights go out. And we had storms here, and a tree went down and took down the power lines, and it was awful. I sat here in the dark, hopeful, as the lights would flicker on and off, hoping that they would stay on. But no, it was a good 2 to 3 hours before the lights went on. We were so hungry. We got in the car, and we drove until we started seeing lights again, and we stopped at a Panera. Or as we call them here in St. Louis, Bread Co. So that's my weekly update. It's nothing great. It's just, it feels better to get it out. And if you're watching us on video, we're wearing different clothes. So.
Yeah. Well, James, my end of that was I have been sitting here for 48 hours.
No!
Waiting to be reconnected. I just took a 2-minute break to change my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, sure you did. That would be classic. You did wait a good long while for us, though. And
we were all very concerned for you. Yeah. And, you know, you never know. Sometimes these things clear up instantly.
Yes. Well, we had reports of tornadoes right before the show started. And so everybody on Twitch thought that my house had blown down. So it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Well, thank goodness you don't live in a cardboard trailer.
Yes. Not anymore. I did once. I've got a good story about that. But anyway, so what about you? What's going on in your world?
Well, quite a bit, actually. I do so much. I'm so busy. Like, it's even hard to comprehend everything I do. So I run this online training center for comedians and comedy writers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly having like online meetings with them. So we have these group meetings where we review work and kind of running that business. And then I also just started a new podcast. I've had one podcast for many years called How to Write Funny, where I interview people in the comedy business, both in front of the camera, behind the scenes, big stars to people you've never heard of, just to talk about how they do what they do and kind of try to crack the code of comedy, because I'm really interested in that. But I left The Onion a few years ago, and I have not been, well, I've done a few projects, like comedy projects. I've done a couple of books, did a novel, but I miss like the weekly grind. Mm. So I signed up to do a podcast that's called Scott Dicker's Around, where for like 10 to 20 minutes every week, I just try to be funny on camera. And there's no audience, so it's really like exposing myself. It's like me in front of a mirror when I'm a kid.
Right.
And it's super fun, and it's super challenging, and I'm in production on a show right now. I just took a quick break to talk to you again. And so that's been a really fun thing that's overtaken my life. It's a great thing to do when you're like 17. So I'm a little late to the party starting up something like this.
Right.
I'm nearly 60, but it's super fun. And it's sort of like my little happy place, you know, to just be goofing around, doing silly voices, doing impressions, doing satire, and just trying to be silly. So it's a lot of fun.
And where can folks find that?
Scott Dicker's Around is to be found on video wherever you get I guess Apple is the only podcast platform that does video.
Video
podcast. But it's also on YouTube.
Okay.
And you can get the audio version if you can't see or if you don't want to see. then the audio version is around. But you miss the animation. I do little animated skits and stuff.
Oh.
So, yeah, just trying to have some fun and really, really enjoying the process.
Sounds awesome.
And I'm going to PodFest this week to talk to other podcasters. I don't know if you've heard about that or if you're going. Or
in Florida? Anybody's going. In Orlando?
In Orlando, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I will shake your hand then, dadgummit, because I'm going.
Oh, see you there. That's wonderful.
Holy crap. I'm
supposed to be the closing keynote of the conference.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to sit on a panel. And, yeah, just going to be hanging out as much as I can. I'm excited to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Are you on the Whova app that they have there?
I've never heard of the Whova. I'm still behind on the technology. I'm an old man, so help me out.
Whova is an app for conventions where it's like a micro Facebook where it's just with the people that are at the convention, and I've been able to create virtual meetups and stuff with folks.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So ask your coordinators, the folks that you're communicating with, about possibly getting on there. I mean, you and I could connect and find a way just to meet in the hallway and shake hands or go to lunch or whatever, you know?
It would be great. That would be delightful. Yeah, we should do that. I'll look up Whova, H-O-O-V-A.
I think so. Let me look it up here on my phone. W-H-O-V-A. So spells just like it sounds. Yeah, there we go. All right, let's...
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Let's move into some reviews. We haven't done these in a while. MyPodcastReviews.com is a great place to go to get all of your podcast reviews, not just the ones from America, but the ones from Canada, for the ones from New Zealand, the ones from Australia, the ones from all over the world. And it's great if you're a podcaster. Today, we have one from Van Von Heesel. He says, I was listening to the episode Bad Butts, which is about cigarette butts. It made me laugh so much and wince about a million times. I had to consistently be rubbing my leg. Okay. I don't know why, but, whatever makes you happy while you're listening, you just do that. Anyway, I love the podcast. Keep up the good work, Van Von Heesel. We appreciate it. And we love your reviews. So please jump on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen and review that story show. We have a couple of announcements. The main one is that our Narthex Con is coming up June 11, 2022 in St. Louis, Missouri, right here at Benton Park Cafe. The deadline is coming soon. Matter of fact, the deadline is at the very end of this month, May 31st. So if you would like to sign up, it is free to attend. T-shirts are $20 if you want a t-shirt. Registration is open all the time until the 31st at narthexcon.com. That's narthexcon, N-A-R-T-H-E-X, con.com. And we would love to see all of you there. And we're excited. We're filling up quick. So get your registration in now.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's time for us to hear a featured story.
Let me tell y'all a
tell y'all a story. All right, Scott, we're gonna put the screws to you here and see what kind of story you got for us today.
So I was in the seventh grade and I wore a striped shirt. I wore the same striped shirt every day.
Oh.
Because I was very insecure, I was very shy, and I was scared that if I wore a different shirt, people would laugh at me or they would notice me. Like, I didn't want to be noticed. I wanted to blend in. Mm. I wanted to be a total chameleon. That was one of my defense strategies. And one day, my favorite red and white striped shirt was in the wash when I had to go to school. So I had worn this shirt every day for months at school. And my mom set out, like, this orange shirt and these brown pants. It was a totally different outfit, and I was just mortified. What was going to happen? Everybody was going to laugh at me. I was going to be, you know, the teacher was going to point it out and mock me. Like, I was just horrified. Walked to school in this strange outfit. Didn't feel like myself at all. And I get to school, and what happens is the teacher marks me absent.
Oh, no. She didn't recognize you?
She couldn't find me in the group.
That's true. Looking for red striped shirt guy.
Right. So maybe I've grown since then, but I'm obviously still wearing striped shirts.
Yeah.
But we now know that I'm wearing a different shirt every day because on the first half of this podcast, I think I was wearing a different shirt.
Yes. That's excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, our audience loves embarrassing stories, and that was pretty embarrassing. That's pretty bad there. Wow. Yeah, I have a similar story. My mother used to love to go to garage sales when we were growing up. She was a single parent. She's doing the best she could, but, you know, doesn't mean I had to love it. She got me a Snoopy shirt. Snoopy was a tie-dyed t-shirt, and Snoopy was riding a wave, and I thought I was too grown up. I was in third grade, dadgummit. I should not be wearing Snoopy clothing. And I did everything I could to try to think of a way I was going to wear another shirt underneath, but it was tie-dyed, but it was very light and you could see underneath it. And I wore a heavy jacket all day long, zipped up to my neck so that nobody could see this jacket. And when I got home, I forgot all about it. I took my jacket off. I go over to a friend's house and they're like, "Oh man, that is an awesome shirt, dude. That is amazing." And I could have had that all day, but no, I was so sure that it was an embarrassing, horrible shirt. And, it just goes to show you, you can't trust yourself.
May I follow up with another one?
Yes.
I received a Fonz t-shirt when I was in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
It had a drawing of the Fonz on it and it said, "Hey," at the top.
Yeah.
Just like this.
Yeah.
It's a very popular shirt in the late 70s. And I was so embarrassed by that shirt, I didn't wear it. And I had this problem. It was a gift. My parents got it for me as a gift, either birthday or Christmas, I can't remember. I had this problem with gifts where I was so shy and I was so socially anxious that I didn't even know how to communicate with people when they would give me gifts. Like, I think that one traumatized me. But then at my next birthday or Christmas, I was given these pants that had shoelaces on the back pockets. I don't know if you remember those. You ever see those pants?
Yeah.
That have shoelaces and you're supposed to tie them. I thought those were the most humiliating, embarrassing pants in the world. But I didn't know how to tell my parents that. It was too mean to say, "I hate these. They're terrible."
Right.
So I said, "Thank you. You know, I like them. They're great." I never wore them, but I told them I liked them. So for the next birthday / holiday, they gave me another pair because they thought I liked them.
Oh, no.
And I went up to my room and I cried. And my mom came up and said, "What's the matter?" And I said, I'm never going to wear them. Oh, my God. The things we go through.
Yes. Yes, yes. And your parents are trying, you know, they're
trying their best. They have no idea. You know, and the kids don't communicate. They're not going to tell a parent what's really going on.
It's like I worry. I've got a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old at this point. They're both high schoolers as of yesterday. And I just worry. We've had such a great time, you know, growing up and parenting and kids and stuff. But I still worry, what are the stories they're going to tell on me, you know, when they get older? The stuff I don't even know I did, you know, the presents I bought, the things I did on vacation that embarrassed them. You know, I mean, there's just no clue. There's no clue.
I also have a 14-year-old, and he's a very quiet person. So I'm sure there's a floodgate that's going to open at some point, and we're going to get all the embarrassing details at some point in the future.
Well, all I hope is that my kids have children like me. That way they can learn to love them more, because they loved me when they were little. I was the greatest dad in the world, man. But now I'm embarrassing. I'm horribly embarrassing.
That's so tough for a lot of parents to make that transition from being worshipped to being a living embarrassment.
Yes, it is tough. It is tough, but we get there. They used to would come on my show, and nowadays they're like, nope, 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 thanks.
Not interested.
Yeah, we don't want our friends to hear us talking to you. All right, let's jump into our listener stories. All right. Today, this segment is brought to you by Projectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. God made laughter, and he meant for us to enjoy it when we were laughing at clean humor, and there's no guilt when you're laughing at clean humor. It's like eating no fat, no sugar ice cream, only it's more natural and your hands don't get sticky. So when you're done listening to that story show, go check out the Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. It's in several podcast directories and also at bit.ly/funnyandclean. That's bit.ly/funnyandclean. You'll find funny sketches, stories, bloopers, and more. You'll even find a parody of a certain time-traveling sci-fi hero. That's Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. Ask for it by name. All right. Our first story is from Josiah McCarthy. It's called Paralyzed with Fear. Hey, James and John. Well, John's not here, but, you know, Scott is, so he'll fill in for you. This is Sucker for Jesus in the Discord. I love your podcast, and I want to send in a story. Last year at Boy Scout camp, I was in woodworking, and we were just carving wood and talking. And I was talking to this one boy, and I said to him, last time I went to Boy Scout camp, I was sitting cross-legged while playing Mafia, and when I got up, my right leg felt numb from the knee down, and I continued to talk about how that felt and how weird feeling it was. And when I was done talking, he was looking at me weirdly, and I didn't know why at first, and then I began to slowly realize that this was the kid whose legs were paralyzed. And I was talking to him about how weird it feels when you can't feel your legs. So I felt so bad that I turned into a bat and flew away. Okay. It's an inside joke here at Nobody's Listening, or that story show. Thanks for reading my story on the show. Bye, Josiah McCarthy. Well, Josiah, that's pretty embarrassing, man. I can't imagine. You gotta watch who you're talking to. This story is called The Soggy Chip by Jayla from Sunset Coast, Canada. Hey, James and John, I have a story for you guys. Hope you enjoy it. One day at school, our class was eating lunch. I walked over to my friend's desk to see what she was up to, and I saw in her lunch she had one chip left. So I snatched it up, and I took a bite. And as I was chewing, I noticed the chip was soggy. And I told her that, hey, this chip is soggy. She looked up at me with a half smile. She says, that's because I was sucking on it, she said. Oh, God. I paused, and I looked at her. And after a couple seconds passed, I took another bite and kept eating it. Okay. Hope this makes it on the show. Yeah, it did. Jayla from Sunshine Coast, BC, Canada. Goodness gracious. Jayla, we have to call that one what it is, and it's a middle school story.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Dane from North Carolina writes a story called We're Not Here. Greetings, James and John. My name is Dane. I'm a sixth grader from North Carolina. I have a story that's for you that I think is pretty funny, but it's kind of short. Hopefully my writing satisfies you. Well, we'll see. We'll see. One day in elementary school a few years ago, we were in gym class. We had a substitute that day, and we were lining up to leave. And our substitute tells us that she wants everyone to be quiet, so our teacher doesn't even know that we are here when she comes to pick us up. Okay, so our teacher arrives and enters the gym. And one quick kid exclaimed very loudly, we're not in here. And my class included me, finds this very hilarious, and we all laugh. I, being next to him in line, I have the privilege of hearing him whisper after that, "We're so good at this." I crack up because he's the one who made us, in fact, very bad at it. We all stop laughing and we go back to class for our next subject, but I still haven't forgotten a kid yelling that we were not there when obviously we were. Thanks for reading this. Hope it makes it on the show. Dane from North Carolina. So we have a bit of a tradition here. The kids like to write in stories, and when the kids write in stories, they always say, "I hope it makes it on the show." And when they say, "Hope it makes it on the show," we have to play the bell. So that's the story there. So anyway, this one is called "Homeschool Nearly Blinded Me." Hello, greetings from Alabama. I love your podcast. It's hilarious and entertaining. So this is a story of how I almost got blinded in one of my eyes. It was 2020 when I was 8 years old. I was homeschooled because of COVID. Uh-oh, homeschool story.
So where does your son go to school?
Oh. All right. So I was living in a small two-story house. I had just finished my work for the day. It was around 8 o'clock p.m., my usual bedtime, and my parents asked me to turn off a light before I went to bed. So for you to understand this next part, we have a little area right next to the kitchen where there's a giant whiteboard we use for either doodling or setting up the schedule for the day. It's homeschool stuff. Normal people don't have whiteboards in their house. So when I was turning around, walking towards the light, my parents told me to turn it off. And as soon as I turned my head around, I immediately smacked the edge of the metal part of the bottom of the whiteboard that is super sharp. And I was bleeding. I instantly ran faster than a flash to my parents' bedroom, screaming, "I hit the metal thing on the whiteboard!" And I was crying like there was no tomorrow. I tell you, I kept repeating the same words. "I don't want to go blind! I don't want to go blind!" As my parents cleaned the wound. Maybe 2 minutes or so after, I just wanted to call it a night. But oh, no, no, they insisted. They insisted we go to the ER. And, I was faced with the fact that I might have to get stitches. I was screwed. I started to even cry more. And that's how I'm pretty sure the oceans were made. So all of us went to the car, listening to a couple of songs to cheer me up. But then we arrived and I went inside and my mom explained what had happened to the person at the front desk. And we went inside the doctor's office. He looked at the wound. I asked him, "Would I need to get stitches?" And he said, "No, thankfully," but instead he would glue it back together. So I asked him what kind of glue. He said hot glue as a joke, but I didn't know that it was a joke. I asked him how hot it was on the hot meter. And he responded with, he says, 4. It's a 4. What is that supposed to mean? So he carefully glued it back together and somehow he managed to get some of the glue into the crevice of my eye. This was no trip to the ER. This was a torture device. I squirmed around in pain, trying not to cry because then it would go in the wound. So there was now a piece of glue in the corner of my eye. Just great. But the doctor explained that it would dry later and be able to peel off. 2 years later, I still have a scar from it. Well, that's my story. And I really hope it makes it on the show. Leland Parker, Spanish Fort, Alabama. All right. Yeah, when I was a kid, I fell through the floor. I told you earlier that I was, raised in a trailer, a cardboard box, basically with 2x2s.
Yeah.
And the funny part was it was a double wide trailer, which was, an 80s trailer. So it was fairly new, but my folks weren't very conventional and, we needed more space. So they bought a single wide trailer from the 60s with orange shag carpeting and, you know, that wonderful faux wood paneling on the sides, and they pushed it up against the double wide trailer at the back and then cut holes between them so we could walk between the areas. And they didn't think it all the way through because the first time it rained, boy, the rain came down in buckets between every open area and flooded the back room where I was living. I got the benefit of living in the 60s trailer, and the floors are made out of fiberboard. I mean, it's sawdust and glue, you know, and they melted. And one day I was walking through in the middle of the night and I fell. I just went right through the floor And luckily, I only fell about 3.5 feet because that's as far off of the ground as a trailer is. But I had reached up and in my just trying to catch myself, and I caught my hand on the metal that they had cut through, because they had cut through right there at the back door, and put a nice little scar on my finger. To this day, you can still see it. And I ended up climbing up out of the hole. I just went to bed, and the next morning they threw some they threw some plywood sheeting down on top of it, which eventually got rained on and curled up, and that was fun to walk over in bare feet. But you know, that's a story for another show.
And you didn't have a Band-Aid or glue or anything for that?
No, no. I taped it. I took tape and I just tightened it down.
That's why you still have a scar, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I was an artist even back then, so I put paper around it and I drew the wound on top of the paper so that I could explain to people when I got to school what was going on underneath all this wrapping of tape. So I didn't.
That's very creative.
I didn't have to unwrap it and show everybody. I was like, "Here it is, right here, in pen and ink." So
I went to a showing of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid musical at the Children's Theater the other night. The star of it, who plays Greg Heffley, is named Huxley Westmeyer. He did the voice for my audiobook that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a really great, fun show. But and it was really elaborate with a lot of like songs and amazing sets and everything. And there was a hole in the middle of the stage, and there's a bunch of middle schoolers on the stage, you know, performing these parts. And during one of the little set pieces, a girl fell in the hole.
Wide
open.
Oh no.
And they had to stop the show.
Oh.
The director called out and said, you know, we're stopping. And the audience sat there for a half an hour not knowing if she was hurt, what's going on.
Oh, goodness.
And then eventually they made an announcement and said, she's okay, and everybody applauded. And then Huxley came back out. It was a part of the play where it was just him on the stage alone. And he came out, he stood there, the spotlight was on him, and the director said, hold, please.
Oh, man.
So Huxley, you know, he's like 14-year-old kid. He's standing there on the stage, lights on him, and he's not saying anything. He's just sort of smiling, like looking at the audience. It was a really funny moment with the audience and him, just like a little moment of silence. And then finally she says, okay, Huxley, go ahead. And he starts his lines, and he snaps right into character, and then he does the next song. And then we see the girl come back out again a little later in a different part. You know, so everybody knew she was okay, but it was a deep hole. Like, it was one of those holes on the stage where props or parts of the set would pop up, you know?
Right.
And it was pretty scary.
That is terrible. Oh,
yeah.
That is the worst. Yeah, luckily my fall, like I said, was only about 3.5 feet. My head was still in the house, you know? So.
Yeah, she went down a few feet. It was like,
oh, man.
She clung to the side of it for a second and then disappeared.
Oh, you know? Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Well, we've got one more story I'd like to share, and then we'll close out our show. Hi, James and John. This is from Bobby Anderson, by the way. My name is Bobby, and I'm 9. And this is my story about the time I got pinned by a chicken. Oh, gosh, I hate chickens. I hate them.
They're mean.
They can be, especially those roosters, man. We raised chickens when I was a kid. And
so did I. They're so mean to each other.
Yes, yes. The pecking order is a real thing. And the rooster was always after me, and my mom would always say, don't you hurt my chicken. Don't you hurt my rooster. I mean, don't you hurt him. And I swung a bucket at him one time and knocked his butt out, and I thought I'd killed him. And I was so afraid to go in the house. But he got up and started walking around like a drunk man, but saved my own butt that time. My mom, though, eventually got attacked by him, and she went and got a shotgun the first time. I'd been attacked by him for months. But she gets attacked by him one time. She went out and shot him. It's so terrible. But anyway, all my listeners have heard that story before. So anyway.
Did you get to eat the rooster?
No. I had to dig a hole. And the stupid thing was still walking around, even though it was dead. And it walked itself into the hole. And we just buried it, and I was traumatized for life, you know, and you either laugh at it or go crazy. So I laugh at it, you know?
Yeah, that's brutal.
Anyway, so this is a story about the time I got pinned by a chicken. About 2 years ago, I was scaring chickens at my sister's horseback riding lessons. That's not smart. And I was scaring chickens for fun. But the last chicken, instead of running away, it lunged at me. There you go. You got the boss chicken right there. The hen that won't that nobody else picks on. I froze there in shock as it stared at me for several moments. And after that, I carefully shouted for my mom. Mom! Mom! She came over and brought me away from the chicken. And ever since, I got scared by the chicken. So now I'm scared of chickens and I leave them alone. Hope it makes it on the show. Bobby Anderson. Guys and girls, thank you so much for listening. We know you have funny life stories. We just want to hear them. So whatever your story is, send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Scott, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Tell the folks where they can find your podcast again.
Yeah, it's called Scott Dickers Around. It's a lot of goofiness and fun and games and jokes and cartoons and funny voices. And you can find it wherever you find your podcast. It's Scott Dickers, 2 K's, no C. Scott Dickers Around.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Well, guys and girls, you're amazing. We love you. And we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Talk to you later. Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.